say greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Tuesday Tune Up with Pastor Shirley Johnson. I am so delighted to have you with us today. If you are new to Tuesday Tune Up, welcome. We appreciate you sharing this time with us. You could be anywhere doing anything, and so we are appreciative to have you. If you've been rocking with us for a while, we want to welcome you to the new, because we have so much in this relaunch that we didn't have previously, so it's going to be an exciting adventure for you as well. We have been voyaging over this month through Restoration Destination, and I pray that you are getting restored and refreshed in this series. In our premiere episode, we discovered that it is well. It is well because Christ rose, redeeming us and restoring us to himself. Then last week, we set sail continuing on our journey to Restoration Destination with a desire to better understand the restorative power of God to enhance our lives and make us anew. Today, we're going to dock for a moment at Maidhold Island. And we're going to do this because we want to take a deeper dive into the restorative process that takes us from being healed to made whole. But before we drop our anchors, let us pray and get tuned up in the Word of God together. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. We thank you that you are alive and well and with us. Lord God, we ask that you bless this message to our hearts. Let it fill our week, Lord God, as we meditate on your word. Lord God, let it be personalized to us and that we would grow in the things of God and be able to be strengthened for our journeys. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, I love how this series has been taking off the layers of my life that have made me lose my shine over the years. It's been restoring me back to the person I was meant to be. Last week, we discovered that through God's restorative plan, we've been restored anew. We've been reconstructed by God back to our original design as children made in his image and likeness. Like an old wooden boat stripped of its paint to reveal its original grain, God desires to restore us anew so that we will shine out his glory. Once restored to our original state, like that boat, there are no more sharp edges, no more splinters. We were smoothed out beautifully. This is restoration healing. Yet God does not just desire to see us healed. He wants to see us made whole. Today, we venture to go below sea level to take a deeper dive into the restorative process that takes us from that healed place to that made whole place. Now, this concept is an interesting one because oftentimes people use these two terms interchangeably. They are different, although used interchangeably. They have a different object of their purpose. And so, yes, they do dance closely around each other, but the object of their purpose is different, and the object of healing is physical. It's natural or outward, meaning that the wound may fade and the outward signs that there was ever an issue may be removed. In essence, healing will provide you wellness. You'll be disease-free or medically sound, but not necessarily able to move past the cut, move past the thing that harmed you. The scar will still take you back to that place of sickness or hurt or harm in your life. Whereas wholeness, on the other hand, provides you with complete healing coupled with the removal of any residue from the issue that keeps you in a stalled pattern. Now, when you look at the scar, now all you'll see is freedom from bondage. All you'll know is that you've been made whole. There is no hurt or residue remaining. Ultimately, wholeness is described as being an unbroken or undamaged state. But the restorative power of Jesus is the only thing that can make you whole. Healing takes care of the sickness, but wholeness opens up the gateway to moving past the injury. I'm reminded of a strong distinction exampled in Luke 8, 43 through 48. It's a familiar passage of scripture where we meet a woman suffering from an issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging. And she had been in this situation for 12 years. She had seen several doctors, all who gladly took her money, and yet came back to say, there's nothing we can do for you. There's no other help we can offer. We don't have a cure. This woman made up in her mind that she was going to go and see Jesus. She did not care about the social norms of the day that said she shouldn't be out in public in this fashion. She was unbothered even by the weakness of her body from the constant blood loss. She would crawl if that's what it took to get her to the master. This woman knew if she made her way to Jesus, then she would be healed, not realizing that wholeness was her reward. Now, Luke 8, 43, 48 says, now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind Jesus and she touched the fringe of his clothes. And immediately her hemorrhaging stopped. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Her faith had healed her. However, Jesus was able to tell her to go in peace because she had also been made whole. Can you even begin to imagine what life must have been like for this woman? So 12 years of carrying around this laborious issue, it's an issue that publicly shames you. It's one that has everyone gossiping and pointing and whispering every time you leave the house. Can you fix your mind around weekly brushing past the multitude, possibly even tripping and falling, struggling to get back up, yet knowing if I press and get to Jesus, I'll be healed of my issue? The determination of this woman to reach Jesus and to get to that place of her restoration destination, it was just absolutely unbelievable. The struggle and pain and shame and weakness, but her resolve was, I have to get to Jesus. I am going to be healed. She had healing on her mind, but God had wholeness on his heart. Yeah. Through this series, I'm learning that the process of being made whole is really a matter of heart posture. The woman with the issue had faith for her healing, but her actions revealed her heart posture, which brought wholeness into her life. Not only was she healed, but she was restored and made whole. Heart posture is so critical to the process of being made whole. If you'll remember, Jesus said virtue was pulled from him. There are few greater accounts than Jesus healing the 10 men with leprosy that example this connection between being made whole and your heart posture. Just listen to the words Jesus speaks to the Samaritan man. The account goes like this, and many of you are probably familiar with it. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was always on his way someplace. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. We must surf the waves of the effects of leprosy to be flooded with a proper understanding of why being made whole in this instance should have been desired over healing alone. Leprosy in the Bible time was brutal. Once it was known that someone had leprosy, they were separated from their families and their tribes and often sent to a place called the Valley of Lepers, or sometimes they would call them leper colonies. Now, don't let the words colony and valley fool you. This was not a gated community with an HOA, filled with cul-de-sacs and well-manicured lawns and awesome neighbors. It was a desolate place, filled with sickness, disease, and oftentimes, ultimately, death. These were quarantine facilities designed to contain extremely contagious disease, and a disease that was thought to have divine judgment from God attached to it. So that brings a completely different stigma to the situation and bias, because people disassociated with individuals thought to have leprosy just based on the fact that they thought this was judgment from God. Leprosy was not a pretty disorder. Over time, people would lose limbs and extremities and suffer from eye issues, skin lesions, other deformities due to muscle weakness. Additionally, problems with an individual's immune system and nervous systems would have complications, in addition to atrophying of reproductive organs. So you've got this loss of limb, facial deformities due to the muscle structure falling, atrophying of reproductive organs. Yeah, it's easy to see why all 10 lepers desired healing, which was evidenced by their cry to the Lord, Jesus, have pity on us, have mercy on us. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. And the scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. Then something happens to one of the lepers. A desire for healing becomes elevated to a need to be made whole. Luke 19 continues. This is one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God in this loud voice. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus and he thanks him. And the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. I love that the scripture denotes that the thankful leper was a Samaritan, because it shows that God will restore anyone who seeks him. Jesus was promised to the Jews, but the right heart posture can shift the intentions of God on our behalf. In fact, Jesus lightly touches on this as he says, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other nine? So he's got these nine Jews. He's like, no one's come back to give praise except this foreigner. No one sees the miracle that has happened here except this foreigner. Then he says to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. All 10 lepers received their healing. This meant that leprosy left their bodies. Nine lepers would no longer be outcasts. They would never have to worry about a future decay of flesh falling off their bodies. Their faces, the fear of losing their limbs would be gone forever, because the work of Christ, the work of the cross, is a complete one. But let's dive into the situation of the one leper. I like to call him the thankful leper, the one who turned back as he witnessed his healing in real time. The Bible states that when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in this loud, boisterous voice. He understood the miraculous nature of what Jesus did for him in that moment. He realized that he had been restored and could not go a step further without acknowledging the restorer. There was a miracle, and I need to speak to the miracle maker. You see, this leper was a Samaritan, and perhaps he was acquainted with the fact that Jesus was sent to the Jews and shouldn't give children's bread to dogs. Yet he did anyway. His heart posture was different. Perhaps he knew that he wasn't deserving of this miracle, but shifted his entire heart posture from taking that healing to thanking God for it. He went from taking to thankful, whereas the other nine had a heart of what I like to call entitled expectancy. They thought they sought healing over the healer, the miracle over the miracle giver. They were excited and they showed themselves to the priest and they went home to their families healed, but not whole. You know what that means? It means they looked like what they had been through. There was no sickness or disease, but the impact of leprosy was still apparent. They were healed in their bodies, but still missing noses, still disfigured, still absent of limbs, healed, but not made whole. You see, what the nine failed to realize was that healing was just a small portion of what God really wanted to do for them. A tidal wave of thanksgiving was at the essence of being made whole. The thankful leper who returned, he couldn't step any further without offering up thankful worship to God. Unlike the nine lepers, the one who turned back was healed and made whole. When he presented before the priest, he did not look like a resident of the Valley of Lepers. No, his face was restored, his nose intact, his eyes were strong, extremities reconstructed. In other words, his hands looked new and his feet did too. He had been made whole, and so can you. Jesus wants to restore us and make us whole. God desires to take us on a rescation so that we can not only get healed from the hurts and the bumps and the bruises of life, but so that he can also give us the experience of wholeness through restoration. We can start the process of restoration today, and I want to walk you through it. There is no greater move than accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Just like the Samaritan leper, he wants to make you whole. Yes, he understands your experience. He knows you've been through some things, but he wants to make you whole. Perhaps we have someone listening today who's hurting. You desire to be restored, but you worry if you'll be accepted by God or merely judged by others. I've come to tell you that God's been waiting on you. He's been waiting to make all things right in your life, waiting to make you whole. We want to pray with you. Maybe there's someone else listening today, someone who says, I'm not saved, but I'd love to know a Savior who not only heals, but will make me whole, who will restore me from this broken and damaged place. And this is your moment too. Maybe we have another person listening to today who says, I'm not saved, but I am saved, but I've been struggling in private and I need restoration. I've been afraid to cry out because of the fallout, but I realize that I need God and I need his restoration. I need to be made whole. Then we desire to pray with you as well. If you simply desire to have someone partner with you in prayer, then we want to be that resource for you today. That resource that prays with you and connects with you, that you receive your breakthrough and your wholeness and your restoration and all things God has promised you. The Bible says it is by grace that we are saved. It's not works. You don't have to earn it, which is a good thing because we couldn't earn it if we could, if that were the case. Simply accepting it. That's all God requires. It's a simple process to receive the redemptive and restorative power of Christ manifest in your life. And we're going to walk through it together. Simply repeat after me. Father, I know I am a sinner, but right now I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. And through my confession, I am saved, and Jesus is my personal Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Teach me more about your love and how I can love others. I want to be in your fold. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you just prayed that prayer with us, please send me a message to TuesdayTuneUp1@gmail.com. I would love to praise God with you and properly welcome you into the family of Christ. Listen, be sure to get connected with a teaching church in your community. It's going to be so impactful to your life. It's going to help you grow in the knowledge of God, be encouraged through Christian fellowship, and it's also going to increase your faith. I praise God for you. I am so excited about your journey. This is the first step to the best days of your life, and I am here to tell you it's going to be good, and it's got an expected end. Now, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you for your word, how it just renews and refreshes us. We thank you for your restorative power. And we are so grateful that there is no place that we can go to be separated from your love. We thank you that we don't have to just live in healed places, but we can actually be made whole and recover everything that you have promised us. We thank you for your grace and mercy renewing daily in our lives. Now we ask that you bless those that have journeyed with us today, Lord God. We ask that you give them a mighty move this week, shift and transition some things that have on their hearts that are of concern. Lord God, we thank you for those who accepted Jesus as their personal savior. Guide them in your word, through in your wisdom, through worship. Help them seeking healing and restoration to find it in you and to just accept that perfected work of the cross, which is a gift given, not something we have to earn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, do me a favor, go out to your preferred podcast platform, set Tuesday Tune Up as a favorite so that you always get our updates. And when we post new things, you'll make sure you get that content as well. Share it with a friend. Listen, these make great personal devotionals or small group studies. They also make nice family devotions as well because they're applicable, impactful, and practical for your everyday living. Listen, we love you, we appreciate you, and we look forward to getting tuned up in the Word of God together with you every single Tuesday. We can't wait to rally with you again next week. Have a blessed week, and we are looking forward to seeing you again.